hallo, folks. Karl Marx here. I was just taking some selfies. I look particularly good today. The humidity is just right for my hair. One more. Okay, two more. Ah, wunderbar. Looking good, Karl.
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern. Right here on Revolution Radio.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Howdy, howdy. This is L.B. Bork, and this is The Ultimate Remedy. How is everybody doing today? It's been a crappy week. Boy, oh boy. We're going to be talking about that a little bit today with Dave Scorpio is with me. Mike is off today. Sorry, folks. But he's on the road. But anyway, he'll be back. But hope you stay tuned. We're going to talk a little bit about People's Awareness Coalition's beginnings and some other things that deal with my my beginnings also into this crazy movement called Freedom, or the Truth Movement, as some people call it. This is Revolution Radio, and you're tuned in to freedomslips.com, and we welcome you. This is listener supported. We need your help. Please, please, if you could, just read a good donation, a donator rather, and he gave a donation and credit to a few people, including the work that we do here on The Ultimate Remedy with Mike. So that's great to hear. Thank you, station. Thank you, management. And everyone. But yeah, if you go to the website at freedomslips.com and find the donations button at the top of the page, it's there. You can click on it and read through that and do your stuff. Also, you can send a snail mail donation. I like those. It's the old-fashioned way. I prefer it that way. But it seems like the internet and everything's taken over, which is unfortunate. Because there's really no privacy in the internet. That's why I like mail. It makes it harder for things to get, you know. I don't know. It's harder for them to look at and follow things. But, you know, Facebook, Twitter, all these things, they can keep an eye on everyone. And that's what they like. So, yeah, donation to Terry Ackerman. Bottom of the page. freedomslips.com. You can find the address there and just follow through. The older folks will know how to send a check or money order in the mail. And also, you can join the chat room and join us there at freedomslips.com. Find the link at the, I don't know, it's a little ways down the same page that you'll find the address and the links to donate. And we'll do a shout out to some of the people a little bit later. I see the mechanics in chat. Hey, guy. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for supporting PAC. I know you've been doing that on your program. Anyway, yeah, Dave Scorpio, Scorpio's Conspiracy Show is with me today. We're going to be talking about People's Awareness Coalition, as I noted, and some beginnings, but I think Dave wanted to get into this stupid riot stuff a little bit. It's really disgusting what's going on. It's all orchestrated just like the plandemic. And I know, some listeners, if you're new, might not believe that, but I know Dave's been doing this quite a few years, maybe 30 or more. I've been doing it 25. And believe me, all this has been planned out, and everything the government pretty much does when it comes to politics especially is all planned. And I think it was Roosevelt and a few others have said that. Anyway, how are you, Dave? Hopefully you're
Mr. L.B. Bork, hello. How are you doing, man?
Oh, trying to be upbeat. We lost our good friend Karen off the Revolution Radio this last week, and it's kind of got me down. But she had to take care of herself, so that's good. But otherwise, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, hopefully she'll come back at some later date. She was very good host, and I hope she comes back. Yep. And a good person, too.
Oh, yeah. Excellent person. But, like everyone and everything today, it's kind of trying on people's nerves. And, she's doing okay. I've talked to her a couple times, and she's doing good. So, love you, Karen,
okay,
if you're out there listening. How are you? I know you had some house problems, too. I'm sorry to hear that. Maybe you didn't want to bring that up and talk about it, but, you know, hope it's going well for you.
Yeah, everything's okay. It's just, everything is getting crazy all over the whole world, and people are really kind of, being pushed to the limit in some ways, especially people that don't have any idea what's going on. People that take all this news of the riots and COVID at face value are really hurting, man. So what's your take on the riots and the convenient timing? Because, America was supposed to open back up, and then, well, no, we can't do it. We're having riots. Sorry, can't open the country back up. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny, like people like Crowder and a few other people. Meme the Left is another guy. I kind of follow his YouTube channel a bit. But they say it's funny the social distancing went out the door all of a sudden this last weekend.
Yeah, it's right out the window. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Out the window, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. But, then what we hear that Bill Gates is involved in delivering – pallets of bricks to some of these sites where protesters can grab a handful and throw them through windows. He was on a board of some commissioner or something that we don't have the details, but doesn't surprise me. It might be a rumor,
well,
but you know, those are
like
the things that
Bill
need to be.
Is the new, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say these are the things that need to be investigated. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, it seems like Bill Gates is the new George Soros in some ways. He's like the front man for everything that's happening right now. You know, the name that we're supposed to go to blame all the problems, you know. But he's just a salesman for people more powerful than himself.
Yeah, I call him a front man. Like,
yes.
Like Karl Marx was a front man for the same people that are doing this, you know.
Who do you think Karl Marx was a front man for?
Well, he was supposedly a member of a League of Just Men. And, it's the Illuminati, if you want to call them that, secret societies that funded that. And I believe the Synagogue of Satan, basically a front for the Synagogue of Satan.
What is the League of Just Men? I'm not really familiar with that. Could you expand on that?
It was in a book by his name's Gary, and I can't remember his second name or his family name. I have to look that up. But he wrote a book called None Dare Call It Conspiracy.
And, yes, that's a classic.
It was footnoted in there, and it was right up front in the book, but I can't remember the details on it. I could look it up. I footnoted it in one of my papers, and I can't remember which paper it was. But, yeah, it's, you start looking at these things like Mike Gaddy has, and, of course, you have, and I have to a point. I don't get into the deep research on conspiracies and things. I look into the law more. But you can start connecting the dots pretty easily, you know. It's not hard to come up with a good storyline on the whole thing. I did a paper a while back called Liberalism is Statism. And it's about 15 pages long, and I have about 2,000 years worth of bullet points or, you know, dots that can be connected throughout the 2,000 years on this whole conspiracy. And, of course, it started with the Roman Empire and the time of Christ. Some people don't believe he existed. I believe he existed as, you know, the person Yeshua. Of course, the stories on him have been embellished and changed and whatever, picked up by the Roman Catholic Church and skewed. But I really think he existed. You know, it seems like the Synagogue of Satan sure hates him. They believe he existed anyway. Maybe it's just a story of divide and conquer. I don't know. But I believe he existed.
Oh, and I do too. And there's numerous passages about Christ in the Talmud that aren't exactly, friendly or, a nice thing to say about somebody. So, yeah, I think he did exist, and he caused a lot of trouble for some very powerful people.
Yeah, my cousin said he was Jesus the rebel. He was. That's why they got mad. He was causing all kinds of trouble, you know. So
what do you think is going on with these riots, LB?
You look back, and I haven't done the deep study on these things. I know Mike's gone deeper into it, Mike Gaddy, and maybe even you. But if you look into people like Charlie Manson, he said there was going to be race riots back in the 60s. And then, you know, one of my mentors, one of the people I followed in the 90s, Jack McLam, wrote a book called Operation Vampire Killer in the early 90s. And he said there was going to be race wars. So I don't think these people made them up. You know, I think Jack was more on top of doing the research and kind of had some inside information on what was going on. Manson, I think, was MK Ultra or, you know, some kind of program where he was brainwashed and put out there to do the bad things he did.
Yes. But,
maybe you can add to that. Go ahead.
Jack McGlam really called out this whole militarization of the police beginning in the 1980s, and pretty much everything that he said was happening has come to fruition. It's no longer a theory or somebody's, you know, postulation.
Right. I don't know who
did you
say
talk
that.
To him directly, or
yes, I had him on my program a couple times back when I was on First Amendment Radio back in the early 2000s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't think I was ever on his, but before he passed away, his secretary sent me his new Operation Vampire Killer. It's sitting here over on the bookshelf. I haven't gone through it, unfortunately, but I should. It was, quite a piece of work compared to his original one. His original one, I bought hundreds of them and passed them out back in the 90s when I was first getting into this, and I just gave them out free to people because I was so concerned about what was going on. And the book was believable. You know, it's kind of like you look at World War II, for example, and the two main things I pick out of World War II were, one, the United Nations was formed, and two, fake Israel was founded at the help of the Rothschild family, Rothschilds.
Yes, I agree totally. And the birth of the intelligence state was birthed during or after World War II or during World War II and came into fruition after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's your synagogue of Satan at work. But Mr. Roe just put in chat that thousands of protesters have gathered in Hollywood. I wonder if they have pallets of bricks courtesy of the Synagogue of Satan. Oh, Karen just jumped into chat.
Oh, yeah. All right, Karen. Good, good. Well, nothing says like, you know, you believe in a cause like breaking into a store and stealing a pair of Air Jordans or a high-end purse of some kind, you know.
Yeah, that really helps. It's theft, you know.
Well, do you see these riots as sort of a modern manifestation of the Marxist agenda?
Oh, yes, I do. You know, all these plans that we just talked about, it's all part of that. It's all chaos, you know. A lot of these secret societies have the motto, which goes back to maybe, I don't know, who was it that said there's order out of chaos? Nietzsche, I think, said that. Friedrich Nietzsche? Oh. But, yeah, they took that. I don't know if it was their motto before or after he coined that, or maybe he got it from them, is what I'm saying. But, yeah, I've seen it on their paraphernalia or whatever you want to call it. Order out of chaos, that's their motto, along with E Pluribus Unum, which is many out of one, or one out of many, rather. Got that backwards.
Well, what I find interesting is, like, as soon as the COVID crisis was starting to, you know, wear a little bit thin, all of a sudden now we're having riots in the streets, and gee, we can't open up the country anymore. We wanted to, but we can't do it because there's riots everywhere. You know, it's awfully coincidental and convenient, if nothing else.
Convenient for who?
Well, keep the agenda going, you know, it's a very convenient way to keep the fear and the chaos and, we can't have things go back to normal. You know, all that is being continued through a different means now.
Yeah, I was being a bit facetious. I know who it's convenient for. I don't know if we should get into this now, but taking down the middle class is part of Marxism or communism, and this sure hinders any small businesses. We can see that people like Amazon has really benefited from this pandemic, this virus, and also they probably will keep profiting from this also. And, you know, back when Walmart came into existence, I don't know if you've studied their modus operandi, but they would come into a town and be within city limits, and they would have to pay the city's taxes. But after a few years, they would close that store and open up outside city limits, so they didn't have to pay those taxes. But by then, all the locals, you know, local hardware, clothing stores, whatever, you know, would go out of business. And this is all due to corporatism that was caused by the 14th Amendment. That's my forte, studying the 14th Amendment and how it created communism, because, you know, that was the foundation for everything that has happened in America in the last 150 years. And I call my book The Red Amendment, based on the 14th Amendment. And the 14th Amendment gave extraordinary powers to corporations. It happened in the Roman Empire also. They did the same thing with the law of persons. They created a private law system that benefited not only the body politic of Rome, but it also helped out the corporations expand too. And we all know what happened to Rome. I believe we were talking about Christ a few minutes ago. I believe Christ came along and, spilled the beans on everything. And it took him about 35 years to destroy the temple, the second temple of the so-called Israelites. They were Jews at that time, as far as I'm concerned. Even though the letter J didn't exist, they were fake. They already lost their religion, so to speak. So they were already on the road to hell, if you will. It took them 35 years to destroy the
amendment. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it took them 35 years to destroy that temple. And, it took about another couple hundred years for Rome to fall, a few hundred years. I don't have the stats in my head right now. Go ahead on the 14th.
No, I want to get deeply into the 14th Amendment, but I just want to touch upon what you were saying about Walmart. Also, you know, Walmart would actually give out information to its workers to apply for welfare and public benefits. So essentially, they were operating under a business model of corporate welfare, getting the taxpayers to make up for the extremely low pay that they paid their workers. So that was a pretty underhanded technique. Well, and talking about, you know, go ahead. Yeah.
No. I was just going to say, if you look at any industrialist, take Musk, for example, he's come out and said he approves of socialism. And if you look at what Marx said, or any communist, they'll say you need socialism for the base of communism. And anyone that's not stupid or pays attention to what's going on knows that capitalism and communism work hand in hand. So the point is, any good capitalist is going to approve of socialism, because it helps disperse the wealth amongst many, so you know, more could be done or sold amongst the merchants or people in industry.
Yes, yeah. So it's sort of like two sides to the same coin, in a way.
Right.
Well, let me ask you, LB, how did you get into this kind of research? Like, what was your aha moment that made you want to get into this?
Yeah, I started back in the early 90s, as I said, with Jack McLam. I don't know if Jack was really a mentor, but he was a teacher. And, you know, I started awakening to things. But I got involved with people in law when I was in Arizona. We had a citizens law group at the time, and one of my main mentors in the law was Carl Granzi, and I haven't talked to Carl in a while. He's in Minnesota. I don't know if he's passed on. I know he's having health problems a few years back. But, he had groups all over the United States as far as, you know, different groups in the different states that studied law. And I guess that's when I got into it, but you know, I kind of saw something was wrong because, you know, a lot of people would say read case law to study law. And even some of the earlier people who I didn't really follow said the same thing. But as I started reading case law, I started seeing where these black robe devils, you know, with their opinions, got their opinions from. And it's other sources. So I went to the source. I said to myself, why do I need these guys? You know, I'll come up with my own opinions based on their materials, that their foundational materials that they follow, you know. So that told me a lot.
How did you get hooked up with McLam? Like, how did you hear about his work initially?
He was in Phoenix, and you know, back before the internet existed, before everything got screwed up. And I'm really anti-internet when it comes to the movement, because it's really been a scatter bomb based on egos and disinformation. So things were tighter back in the 90s. There was only a handful of people that were to be looked at, you know, as far as the material they had to offer. And Jack, you know, there was I don't know if you'd call it underground, because all these people were following truth, you know, opposed to what communism had to do throughout, you know, the 20th century. They had to meet in secret and you know, because it was unlawful, deemed unlawful. But really, communism was started with the Civil War. So that was part of their whole thing, is they had to do everything in stealth or secret. People's Awareness Coalition, for example, or people like Jack McLam, it was kind of underground, but it really wasn't, because no one was doing anything wrong. You know, everyone was just telling the information that they knew.
Yeah, I first heard of Jack McLam on WWCR shortwave radio back in, the early 90s. And the Spotlight newspaper used to cover his work as well. And he warned us that the police were being militarized and they were being trained to turn the general public into the enemy. And that kind of goes full circle back to these riots. And I personally don't think that what we saw with the killing of this guy, of Floyd, is anything close to what actually happened. But that's the narrative we're being fed, and it's all very suspicious. But overall, the police really are militarized. Look at the way they're dressed now and the kind of weaponry they have. Many police departments actually have tanks.
The word or term police state did not appear in Black's Law Dictionary until after I released my book, The Red Amendment, in 2000. The 2000 edition, which I believe was the seventh, it was the first edition to have police state defined in it, and the cover was red. more symbolism of what these people are doing.
Yeah. Okay, so it was the early 90s, and then what was the thing that tipped you off about Bolshevism or communism? How did you come into that information?
Well, there were a few handful of people talking about it. You know, they said things like, you know, some of the agencies, the United States government, were, you know, parts, planks of the Communist Manifesto. So that's when I looked into it. I read the Communist Manifesto myself and determined that it was nothing but a thing to destroy the middle class and create a workforce. Ooh, we got a break. Yeah, this is The Ultimate Remedy. My name is LB Bork. I have Dave Scorpio with me today, and we're talking about People's Awareness Coalition. Be back in about 5 minutes. Stay tuned, folks.
Guys freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
Your body's filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
Listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Radio.
Hello, all you good-looking people out there in Revolution Radio. This is Mario. I invite you to join me Thursdays at 6 o'clock for This, That, and the Other. It's a show about you, it's a show about me, but ultimately it's a show where we try to have a little bit of fun. We discuss some quirky topics, and we do our best to be apolitical. So I invite you, put on your favorite pair of comfy sweats, your smoking jacket, and grab a beverage of your choice, and join me Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock. for this, that, and the other on Revolution Radio.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is, as Hawk said, Revolution Radio. I think he said that. Anyway, nice to hear his voice. Miss Hawk. Anyway, glad you returned with us. This is The Ultimate Remedy. My name's LB Bork, and we're talking about this and that today. And I have my good friend Dave with the Scorpio Conspiracy Show on with me. Mike's busy moving to and fro today. I just chatted with him. He's doing fine. Anyway, where were we?
Going back to Hawk briefly, I like the new bumper where he says, and I say for myself, no more. That's a good one. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, thanks, Tones, for getting things tuned up. I really appreciate it. It's sounding very good. And some other good things happening. I want to thank all the management for all the hard work they do. And, of course, providing a platform for both of us, Dave and myself, a place to tell you the truth. It's probably one of the few places. I'm shadow banned. I got kicked off Facebook twice. I had thousands of friends on Facebook. They kicked me off. Second time I went back on, I couldn't develop the friend network that I had because they started doing algorithms and all that. They shadow banned my information that I posted. You know, my whole list wasn't getting it. It's just pathetic. Twitter, we had four accounts for People's Awareness Coalition. They took them all down. We started a new one. I don't know if that one's still up. I got to check with someone that put it up for us. It's just been bad. They took my YouTube account away. They put me back on there, but as far as I can see, I'm shadow banned on posting on the comment sections on a lot of people's, posts because no one can see them. I can see them, but no one else can. So I guess my point is the general internet, as far as social media, it's a total waste of time. It's controlled. And like I've noticed before, it was proof positive to me when I was back on John B. Wells' show about 5 years ago. I was on there for the first time, and we talked for about an hour and a half, hour 40 minutes. And during the last break, I said, we're going to talk about Remedy the last few minutes of the show. Came back on, and they shut Skype down, not his engineers. The people in control of things shut Skype down like five times in that 10 minutes or 12 minutes we had left. Just one, we get connected, they shut it down. So that told me the internet's controlled. So that told me they don't care what you talk about as long as you're not talking about remedies.
Yeah. Well, so you read the Communist Manifesto back in the 90s sometime?
Yep.
And so as I understand it, Karl Marx wrote that manifesto, which is a declaration of war. He wrote that book at one of the major libraries in London. Is that correct?
I think so. I had a few people do deeper research on that character. I didn't. I just look at the face value of the documents and go from there. But besides being a part of League of Just Men, he was involved with the Working Men's Party and the things over in Europe of that caliber. And I wish I knew for sure. I think they got prosecuted for sedition in one of the countries for trying to pull this garbage over there. And they got kicked out, and a lot of them came over here and started things under the 40. They call them the 48ers. And that was 1848 is when they came over here. A lot of them settled in Wisconsin, where I'm at right now. I wrote my book, matter of fact. My book is written in the town where a lot of lead was mined to kill the people or the men in the Civil War. I don't know, what do you call that, poetic justice or something? My book exposing this whole fraud, you know. So anyway.
Well, as I understand it, Frederick Engels was sort of
He was a rich Marx's, industrialist.
You know, a benefactor, wasn't he?
Right. He was a rich industrialist, from what I understood. Which goes to show you who was behind all this. Yeah, he was. It just kind of tells you who's behind this. And when they installed the thing into the United States, rich industrialists, you know, they supported the 14th Amendment. They're the ones that got the 14th Amendment put in place. Rich industrialist. They were the Republican Party, the original Republican Party, called the Radical Republicans.
Well, what do you think Engels' motivation was in funding Karl Marx? Because as I understand it, he was like his benefactor for like 10 years or more.
Yeah. Well, just what I said. Communism benefits industry. The Rothschilds' shield, their family crest, their shield, has owed, you know, says industry is important. Doesn't talk about money. I know a lot of people think that money is the real problem, but it's the industry or the family economies they've stolen and created this communist, you know, system of economy that has destroyed, you know, family businesses. Is what the problem is. Money is only the, you know, the tool to do it with. It's only one of their tools in their arsenal.
So I guess you could say in a way that communism was a capitalist way of destroying the competition or eliminating the competition.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, that was one of the things when I noticed when I read the Communist Manifesto, I go, wait a minute here. The ruling elite and the elite are okay, but the middle class is a problem? That didn't sound right to me. Because, you know, you've always heard the term or phrase, the rich get richer. This manifesto is exactly what that was meant to do. Make the rich richer.
Right.
It's a blueprint. Are you familiar
with slavery. Anthony Sutton's work on the Communist Revolution?
No. I'm not.
Well, Anthony Sutton was a researcher. He worked with the Hoover Institute for a while. He got kicked out because he started to research the Communist Revolution and found that many of the funders of the Communist Revolution were, in fact, capitalists.
Yes.
And he published his books back in the 1970s. So this was pretty early on in the research, you know, timeline.
Did you say 1970s?
Yeah. Anthony Sutton published his book on communism and the capitalist roots of communism, specifically Wall Street. He published those books sometime in the 1970s.
Well, if Mike had found out that the Rothschilds, two of the brothers were kind of perusing around the North and the South, during the Civil War, getting doing surveillance and estimating on what needed to be done for the Civil War. So, in that respect, the bankers are one of the ones that make a lot of money because of war. And if you read the last paragraph in the Communist Manifesto, it says they have no problem killing people. I'm paraphrasing. They have no problem killing people to get their institution put in place. And that's what they did with the Civil War. They killed almost 1 million people to get this program going in the United States. What we're seeing now today is more Marxism. And it's because all the communist planks were already applied in America as of at least 50 years ago. You know, it took them about 100 years to get them all put in place. But now we're seeing Marxist nonsense go on, you know, just and now he's been dead for a long time. But because he was the author, isn't it? Peterson even believes in neo-Marxism, whatever that's supposed to mean. It's kind of like a rebirth of the whole program, but they want to make people think that it was sleeping, but it really wasn't, because it's worldwide and it's installed in every country of the world, except for Switzerland. That's a neutral state during this silent war. And it's been silent for a long, not silent, but it's been a neutral state for a long time. Switzerland has. And, you know, the roots of the problem, the roots of that, the whole conspiracy, the world conspiracy, go back, to at least 1500 that I'm aware of, and the Knights Templar and things of that nature. And, you know, even John Calvin wrote his book in Geneva, Switzerland, the Bible.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's the, right. The Bible. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And also, the robes that the priests, most of the so-called Christian priests wear, and the robes that the judges wear are called Geneva robes. Excuse me, I can't even think what I'm saying today. So yeah, they wear Geneva robes. So that's all tied back to the system of control, rulers of evil.
So you're tracing this conspiracy back to the 1500s. What?
The church went through Reformation. The United States went through Reconstruction. That was in the, of course, 1868. They really started the Reconstruction. But, of course, it started with the Civil War in 1861. But it really started when the 48ers moved over here. But it started way before that.
Give us the background on the 48ers.
The 48ers?
Yeah.
A lot of them are just Europeans. They came from Europe, and they were socialist, foundational socialist. And if you look at, like I was trying to say a few minutes ago, I said it started before that. The Jesuits, which I believe to be a front organization for the synagogue of Satan, they entered the church in the 1500s, the Catholic Church, the Jesuits, the Jesuit order.
But, and the conversos?
Yeah, Georgetown University was the main Jesuit school that was established the same year, 1787. It was established, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, if you know the date, but I think it was 1787. Georgetown University was founded the same year the Constitution was put in place. So they're tied together, is what I'm saying. It's all works together. But if you listen to Mike, through my research also, they couldn't get away with everything they wanted to right up front. And I've said for years that the 14th Amendment was on the drafting table before the ink was even dry on the Constitution. So they've been, working at this for a long time, and they had to overcome the Protestant Christians of America, and they couldn't do it effectively. So they had to, do what they could with the Constitution. Of course, the Articles of Confederation came before that. And they had little to do with that, but they were still had their fingers in it even then.
Why do you say that the 14th Amendment was on the table as early as 1787?
Well, like Mike and I might differ in things that he. I don't disagree with what he says, but These guys wanted the national government right away, this federal, so-called federal government. They wanted nationalized, but they couldn't get away with it. And they couldn't really get away with what they did until they put the 14th Amendment in place. Until then, it was just like a pipe dream, political newspeak or wishes, you know, that they tried to get away with it. And they did their best. Like I said, they couldn't do what they wanted to do. But they did their best with the Constitution, which, you know, overrode the Articles of Confederation.
Okay, so what year was the 14th Amendment passed?
It wasn't passed. It was installed unlawfully.
Okay, installed.
The whole thing violates Article 5. And, you know, I want to talk about that in detail next hour if we can. This is all this would take to take this system down. And people just haven't got it. 20 years I've been talking about it. No one understands it.
Okay, but, so let's start at
1868.
What was it that brought you to studying the 14th Amendment? How did that come into your purview?
Yeah, like I said, I was with a law group in Phoenix, and people thought they had constitutional rights, okay? And they weren't paying their taxes. They said they're immune or exempt from it. And, of course, they're going, getting their property taken and going to prison. So I said, something's wrong here. And I started doing my research, and it all came up with, pointed to the 14th Amendment. That's when things really changed. You know, and like I said, Mike believes that it started with the Constitution, which it did, but they couldn't get what they wanted exactly, so they had to install the 14th Amendment, which pulled the people of the states into the jurisdiction of Congress under private law.
And what year was that passed?
1868, they installed it. I call it implemented it. Because it wasn't passed because of the Civil War was illegal. They had no constitutional authority for the Civil War. It was forced under the communist doctrine, you know, of force. And that's why it's illegal. This whole political system's illegal. It's unlawful, pursuant to their own constitution. And everyone that's participating
in it is agreeing to it. Why was the 14th Amendment installed illegally? Exactly how did that happen? Because the South was in Reconstruction at the time, right?
A Reconstruction has to do with their, reconstructing the political system. You know, people probably thought it fell apart and, they had to reconstruct it back up because, you know, the politicians at the time said, well, we have to keep this union together, for example. So they had to reconstruct it back from the so-called Civil War, which it wasn't a civil war. It was an international war between two factions, the North and the South. But
go through the method. How was the 14th Amendment installed? Exactly what happened?
Well, the 13th Amendment, they put it in place first. There was an original 13th, which a lot of people follow, which I think is just a red herring because it really didn't do anything because there's clauses in the Constitution that disallowed titles of nobility. The only thing it really mentioned is that the original 13th, it mentioned that they lose their citizenship, but they could have done that through the power they had in the constitutional clauses. So I go through this in my book and also some writings I've done, but they replaced that 13th Amendment with the Slavery and Voluntary Servitude Amendment, which was first. And if you look at the language in the 13th Amendment, it talks about the states and subject to their jurisdiction. And if you look at 14th Amendment legislation and things, because they went into the South and actually replaced the governments of the South and replace their state constitutions by force. And they got rid of the governors. And, you know, I've actually seen through other people's research, the letters where the governor, the lawful or supposedly what they call de jure governors being removed from office, and they put their puppet governments in. So what part of that is lawful? Taking a sovereign state's right to self-determination and removing their governments by force. The foundation is dead right there. They killed their own Article 5 passage for the 14th Amendment. And like I said, they put their new 13th Amendment in supposedly legally, but or lawfully. I still don't believe that was even done lawfully, because it was done by force. But it's what we got to work with. So, you know, like I was taught early on that you use their own law against them, and it works like a charm, especially when they're criminals. So that's what my home method to my madness has been for 20 years, is using their law against them, which is the Constitution itself. The sitting government's unlawful based on their own Constitution. And of course they'll argue with you, but that's where People's Awareness Coalition has to be a political movement. Because you can't go to their courts, because they'll lie about it. People have to understand it. If that makes sense. I hope you understand it at least by now.
Yeah. Okay, so the 14th Amendment was passed or installed illegally because there wasn't really legitimate government within the southern states at that time.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
That's the main thing, because they removed the southern governments and had their puppet governments vote on this thing, which I don't even think it Mike knows the numbers better than I do. I can't remember them off the top of my head. I've got papers that have been put together that I didn't put together that goes over it, like the speech before Congress in 1967 by Congressman, I can't even think of his name. I'm so bad with names. I could look it up. He was on my radio show before he passed away too, a few years back. He brought it up to Congress, and all the numbers are in that document, and it's on my website. So it's a fact. The Congress knows about it.
What's so interesting, like one of the things that Mike really brings up about the Civil War is that the Civil War had nothing to do with slavery or any of the emotional knee-jerk reactions we're supposed to have.
Sorry to interrupt, but I'm just so upset about the blacks have been used as tools by these people that control things for the slavery issue and this rioting issue. They're being used as useful idiots, or that excuse.
Yeah, that's true.
They're playing upon people's emotions by doing this.
Right. And that way you can't think clearly and you can't use logic or higher reasoning. And one thing that Mike really taught me about the Civil War was that the North was going to financially collapse if the South was allowed to break free. And that was the real problem that, the Union was facing.
Yeah, that's what they say. But if you look at communism, if you look at Marx's manifesto, he talks about centralized this and that. Okay, so it's very important for the socialist or the industrialist to have centralized control. So that's what was happening. They didn't care diddly squat about the Union except the centralized control aspect of it.
Right.
And just like the world government under the United Nations, which they're supposed to have that done by this year. And that's what all this confusion and the chaos is about, because they do want to install their world government this year. It's centralized control of many nations under one. And that's what they did. If you look at law, Each state is a country. Each state's a state nation. And they had to have centralized control of that. It was basically the pilot program of these people under the United States early on when they formed the Constitution. Even, you know, the Articles of Confederation were a weak version of it. And, you know, that's why they call these guys progressives. They couldn't do it all at once because no one in their right mind would put up with this junk. So they have to slowly do it.
Yeah.
It's progressive.
And what's kind of sad, too, is that a lot of so-called progressives, they think they're doing something good. You know, they think they're on the right side of history. But as Stalin would say, they're really just useful idiots for a bigger agenda that they're not aware of.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very sad. And then people won't listen to, you know, truth. It's all documented.
Yeah. So next hour, we'll really get into your book and the 14th Amendment. Let's really get to the heart of what that is about and why it's so important. Because I think it's a bit of a mystery to a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a lot of trouble for people to understand. John Rarick was that congressman's name. Sorry, I spaced his name. Getting old or something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So
it's
anyway,
the 5G
yeah.
satellites.
Yeah, that's what they say. I don't deny that. I think
it's possible.
That probably exists more so than aliens. I'm an alien. Anyway, that's law. And I think the whole alien agenda is to, that's why they use the word alien, because it just confuses people on the real language under law. Anyway, this is The Ultimate Remedy. My name is L.B. Bork. Talking with Dave Scorpio today, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Station break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Enter into a world unseen on Ravenstar's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
When the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, by all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Hello, all you good-looking people out there in Revolution Radio. This is Mario. I invite you to join me Thursdays at 6 o'clock for This, That, and the Other. It's a show about you, it's a show about me, but ultimately it's a show where we try to have a little bit of fun. We discuss some quirky topics, and we do our best to be apolitical. So I invite you, put on your favorite pair of comfy sweats, your smoking jacket, and grab a beverage of your choice, and join me Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock. For This, That, and the Other on Revolution Radio.
All right. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Howdy, we're back. This is The Ultimate Remedy. My name's LB Bork. Been on the station for a few years. Want to thank you for tuning in. And again, we're listener supported. So find the website at freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. Or no, revolution.radio. Yes, sorry. You'll find the donation button and also snail mail donation methods towards the bottom of the page at that address. I appreciate your help. Anyway, yeah, we have people in the chat room. Karen Thunderbird, fake war. Yes, a lot of that fake war going on. I call it the silent war. It's been going on for 150 years in the United States, all over the world. The silent war, no one knows about. Anyway, Lady Horse, thank you, Terry, for all the work you guys do as management. Mechanic, hey, guy, how's it going? J.D. Farrell, 45. He's a new one. Haven't seen him before. Comet, Reg. Don't know Reg. Anyway, Cannon, hi. How you doing? Hummingbird. Saul Rosenberg from Europe, I think he is. Fact or theory. That's true. Fact or theory. Dirt Engineer, how you doing? Karen, my good friend Karen. Hello, Karen. Anyway, Hummingbird. Yeah, I think I mentioned Hummingbird. I think Pat's in there too. Hi, Pat. How are you doing? I've been quiet lately. Sorry, I haven't said hi. Anyway, I have Dave Scorpio with me today. Why don't you give us a plug for your show on Saturday, Dave?
Sure. Thank you. My show comes on from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, the Scorpio Conspiracy Show.
Yeah, that's not conspiracy theory. It's pretty much facts.
It's not really conspiracy theory anymore. It used to be, but it's not anymore.
Well, that's what they say. Again, that's...
Well, they're admitting it all on TV now. Bill Gates, other people are just coming out with the most far-out conspiracy theories ever postulated, and they're talking about them on the open on regular talk shows now. So it's quite a change.
Yep. Well, they're pretty open about it now. It's sad that they, befuddled everyone the last several years. Since I was born, I thought something was wrong when Kennedy was shot. I was only 3 or 4 years old, somewhere in that range. But it was pretty troublesome to me. Then growing up, in my teenage years with the the post Vietnam era, and during my younger years, of course, with the Vietnam, I said to myself early on, this government's nothing but criminal activity. I don't want anything to do with them. I had no patriotic attitude or reason to vote for these criminals when I got out of high school in the 70s. That was my attitude. You're talking about how I got into this. That was my stance all the way until I, woke up in the 90s. So then I found out, they're real criminals. What they did with the violating Article 5 of the Constitution to get their current political system put in place, which again is based on Marx or communism. The foundation is communism. So, people listening, just let us know when you want to quit this thing, because there's a remedy. But people like their Marxism so much, they just think they have to vote and keep the debt going that they've created under this thing, under Section 4. The criminal activities implemented under Section 2 of the 14th Amendment, they neatly, you know, save themselves. I call it this savings clause. And Section 3, the people that you elect are, you know, basically free from prosecution because of what they put in that thing. But, of course, that's their idea. I think they're involved in political crimes. And it goes on and on. Of course, they turn people into legal entities under Section 1, which, again, gave corporations power under Section 1 of the 14th Amendment. Extraordinary powers for corporations.
Well, let's get into the 14th Amendment. What exactly is the 14th Amendment, and why is it so important?
Is it important? I just say why it's so not important. It's important because the system is controlled 190% under it, you know. It's what the, you know, there's a common law maxim that said when the foundation fails, all fails. And if you go back into history and look at Grant's, President Grant, he was the one that was put in office after they got rid of Lincoln and the, you know, the other people that dealt with the assassination of Lincoln. He took his place. And his two terms in office are documented. The documentation's there that it was filled with graft and corruption. So there's your foundation of this political system, and it's carried on for 150 years. And that's why we have all these problems today. People voting for criminal activities and keeping it perpetuated, you know, sustained.
Yeah, and that's give us a precise description of what the 14th Amendment says and what powers it gives that are illegitimate.
The power it gives that are illegitimate? No, well, that's why they have to get people out there to vote to support this thing. That's the only power they really have. You know, it was said in the Declaration of Independence that governments are instituted by the consent of the governed. That means they're given their power by the consent of the government governed. And that's why the people have to vote for the system. It says so in Section 2 of the 14th Amendment that the right to vote is denied except for participation in rebellion. And it's the communist rebellion that people are participating in. And Section 4 offers no questioning the debt. So no one can question the debt under the system, especially, you know, unless, like George Carlin used to say, I don't know if he knew as much as what's in my book, but he had things pretty much figured out. He knew about the law of agency. And, you know, if you're a constituent of these people, either state or federal, you're agreeing to everything that they do if you vote for them.
What is the law of agency? I'm not familiar with that.
If you hire an agent, like let's say a lawyer, you know, if you hire a lawyer, for example, you're bound by what he sets up and, negotiates for you because he's your agent.
Oh, I see. So you're saying that's
tied it's a body of law, yeah. Just like. Private law, criminal law, you know, it's a certain, section of law that's set aside, law of agency, would be, it would fall under the law of contract. It'd be a subsection of a law of contract. And silence, there's common law maxims that say, you know, people say, well, I don't vote, it doesn't matter. Operations of law under the 14th Amendment to make you subject to this government. That's my whole thing that I discovered, how to get out of this. They leave you exit strategies because they can't force you to participate or be associated with criminals. But that's their secret, you know. They hold these things over people's heads. And we're going back to the slavery and voluntary servitude amendment. I say the 13th Amendment saves, the 14th Amendment enslaves. Because of the way it's set up. People, you know, not saying anything or whatever. And voting, it says right in there's an operation, law that says you have to rebel to participate in this system. And it says, or other crime. It says the right to vote is denied except for participation in rebellion or other crime. It's got a duality to it, as people know that if they commit a crime in this governmental system, like, you know, get convicted of a felony, they lose their right to vote, right? You know that, Dave, right? You heard that?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's the duality. They use it for that purpose. And also, the right to vote is denied except for participation in rebellion. And the way they word it, they say it right there that it's a crime. So what it does is makes you a criminal and servitude under the aspects of the 13th Amendment because you're a criminal. So that's how they get people to pay the debts of the United States and act as bond servants through the income tax. I don't know if you looked at what Reagan found in the Grace Commission, but they found that all income tax is going to paying the interest on the public debt. It's not even paying any principal.
Exactly. So, well, it's impossible to pay off the principal at this point.
It's not. It's out of control, but there's a clause in the 14th Amendment, Section 4, that says it's all illegal and void. But like I say in my book, as long as Americans are enjoying communism, they're in perpetual bondage. So what has to be done is this thing's got to be quit cold turkey. And again, that's what I discovered, how to do it, but people aren't willing to do that. And they're really stuck in a rock and a hard place. And that's why I get so upset of people not wanting to unify. Because this thing could be over in a week if it was exposed. And then,
what was exposed specifically?
My book. What's in my book?
Okay, well, let's go into that.
My writings. You don't even have to get my book. I've got tons of writings on this.
Okay.
And again, it ties back to the simplest of documents, that founded the United States by Jefferson. You know, governments are instituted by the consent of the governed. And if there's no consent, there's no government. And people won't let go of the principle, you know. Oh, we need to elect the right people. Right, got to get the right people in office. Well, they're destined to fail. They fail before the foundation. It fails. Like I've been telling people for years, you can't fix what's meant to be broken. And okay. I just don't understand. You know, they have to have one of their black robe priests tell them. And government is a religion. Again, in what I said last hour about the Geneva robes that the priest and the judges wear are both from Geneva, and they date back to 1500 and Calvin, that time period of where the rulers of evil, the Vatican, is controlled by the Jesuit order, is controlling everything.
Well, what do you see the relationship between?
By the way,
go ahead.
Jesuit schools went from 4 to over 40 after the Civil War. So they got their tentacles in deeper, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. So would you say that communism or Bolshevism is sort of a Jewish mechanization or a Jesuit, or are they working together, the two different groups?
They work together. I call them Luciferians. I know some people don't like that, but that's what they call themselves. They came up with that terminology. And here's how I tie them together. Luciferians, or the enlightened people, do not openly tell people what they're up to, which is, you know, I don't know if you know I'm sure you do, Dave. You know Kennedy's speech in 61 where he addressed the press and said there's no room for secret societies in government, in a free government.
And they're abhorrent to a free society, I believe
yes,
he said,
yeah,
too.
I think that's the language, yeah. I was paraphrasing. But, you know, that's one reason they killed him, because he was against secret societies controlling government. And that's what these people do. They're secretive about what they do. And that might, you know, tell that's satanic in itself. So there's the bridge.
Because it has to be based on deception. That's the reason for all the secrecy.
Right. So Lucifer or not, good or bad, they're being secretive. And, you know, they say it's really Satanism, which it is. There's good and evil. And these people are evil that run the United States. So again, it fails on its foundation. You know, you can't fix what's meant to be broken. And that's why things are so screwed up. And they're just coming out of the closet now, so to speak.
They really are coming out of the closet. Yeah.
I've said for years that they're taking the velvet glove off the iron fist now.
Well, you're seeing Bill Gates go on Ellen DeGeneres' show and essentially giving the whole bullet points of the agenda. And his wife is going on the Today Show and doing the same thing, you know. So they are coming out of the closet, no question about that.
Well, see, people have to reject this, and they don't. They won't. They like their entertainment. Sorry, they're stupid.
Well, it's been that way by design, with the dumbing down of the educational system, no question. And they got rid of classical education. I think that was the essential thing that really turned society around, because, you know, not that long, a little over 100 years ago, people were studying the classics, the ancient philosophers, mythology, all of it. That was part of a classical education. That's been replaced by a liberal arts education, whatever that is.
Yeah, liberal. Like I say, liberalism is statism, and statism is Satanism.
Well, yeah, and you're seeing how these so-called liberal governors, they're the ones that want to really turn the screw on people and prevent society from reopening in any normal sense of the word.
No, it's a divide and conquer measure. The parties are nothing but divide and conquer. And they're the Marxist ruling elite.
I heard it said that the Republicans are kind of the slow road and the Democrats are the fast road to the agenda,
now,
you know.
I look at the Democrats as being useful idiots. Again, the Republican Party was formed by the radical Republicans. They were industrialist. So it's kind of like that brother that you had that always did bad things, that blamed you, the little brother, for things. The Democrats are the little brother getting blamed by the big brother for the evil things that are being done. But they've enticed him into doing, you know, getting the little brother to do it. It's all Hegelian dialectic, in my estimation, of what they're doing. You know, they're taking things to an extreme, and they're going to bring them back central to where they want them. And the Democrats are the ones to do that. The leftist type Democrats are the useful idiots doing this.
So the 14th Amendment essentially makes voting illegal. What else does it do that's, you know, what are the main things that make it so important in your mind?
Important? It's political. Everything's based on politics and law. It set up another legal system or a law system. I got a paper called Dual System of Law. You can find that on the internet under PAC, which stands for People's Awareness Coalition. And let's plug in Dual System of Law. It should come up on the search engines. If you want to find a load of papers to read, you go to a search engine and just plug in PACINLAW, PACINLAW.US, and a ton of papers will come up, white papers that I've written on these things. Treason by Design is a another one. It's pretty popular.
So I guess you're saying that the 14th Amendment is sort of a legal means to help install communism? Is that
right? What they did is they enslaved people through it. So, like I said, they are agreeing to it through voting. And they're enslaved by it at the same time by operational law. And no one complains about it, so it stands.
Right.
Legal fictions too. That there's a ton of legal fictions. These people, these judges are criminals.
Expand on the legal fiction.
Legal fiction is something that exists in a judge's head because there's no evidence to prove otherwise. For example, you know, there's a lot of people in this movement that go into court and say, "I'm not a U.S. citizen or a 14th Amendment citizen." But, you know, there's one case where some of the people I've worked with in the past said there's prosecutors knew these so-called sovereign citizens were going to do this or whatever, or had this argument in court. So what they do is go pull their voter registration and they'll say, "Yeah, I got the evidence right here, Judge. He's a U.S. citizen. He's registered to vote." So under the 14th Amendment, that's what that applies to. So basically, the guy claiming that just lied to the court because he's ignorant of what's really going on. And that's a problem with the internet. I said first hour that I'm really disgusted with the internet because it's filled with disinformation and incompetent people that haven't studied these things as much as deeply as I have or Mike has. So it's just gotten worse. You know, the 90s was filled with people that were studying constitutional issues. Today, they're worried about the earth being flat and Trump getting in office. So what happened is with the movement, with the internet, is they've commandeered it and took it over to put out distracted BS out there and get people voting instead of looking at the, you know, the issues of law. That's what PAC's been doing for 20 years. Of course, we got buried, like I referenced last hour. People like bright, shiny things. They go after the bright, shiny thing. The dancing monkeys on YouTube that entertain. But there's a few people out there, like the mechanic, for example. I know some people don't know him because he's new, but he's been pushing a few of the documents from PAC. He actually went and handed out Slippery Slope to his police department and some of the public service servants in town, which was that's what it's meant for. Slippery Slope. I've heard that, not the paper name, but people are talking about the Slippery Slope everything's on right now. One of our people in Ohio said, "Yeah, we're on that slippery slope right now." He was referencing my paper. It's a public notice for public servants to tell them that it basically goes over the conspiracy and that any blood spilled will be on their hands for following, you know, the marching orders of this satanic system. Like I said, this thing should have been over 10 years ago. It'd be over in, you know, a month if people just pay attention to what I've written. Of course, again, like I said, that they have to have their priest tell them the black robes, you know, or President Trump would have to tell them, but it's never gonna come from those people.
Well, in the last half hour, let's get into what you know, the remedy is. Like, what do you think the first things that should be done or the most important things? I know we're just on a break here in just another minute or so. But no, maybe
unity
we can get
is the most important thing. Unity. Again, everything's political and approval, you know, per the Constitution. Even though it's done unlawfully, you know, it still stands under the law of agency, like I mentioned, this contract. Rousseau called it the social contract back in the 1700s. Jean-Jacques Rousseau. think I got the date right. I forget when his presence was around, but
okay. So the social contract. Why don't you go into that a little bit?
It's just basically the thing that operates off legal fictions. People operating within a country or a state under the jurisdiction of any certain country or any particular country. It's an agreement just for being there, you know, being regulated by the government that's set up under the, you know, the its constitution generally is what they use. And I've broken that word down to it's basically a confidence institution. That's why they have to get people to pledge allegiance to the flag and take oaths to the Constitution, because they're pledging their fidelity to it in sense. And it's all mind control and brainwashing, because they're not teaching the particulars of law that are attached to it. So it's based on social, you know, implementation instead of law. So it's not really full disclosure in sense. This is the Ultimate Remedy. We got station break, some announcements and things of that nature. We'll be back in a few minutes. My name's LB Bork, and I got Dave with me. We'll be back in about 4 minutes. Stay tuned.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, we're back. This is the Ultimate Remedy. My name is LB Bork. How you doing? Anyway, sorry, you got some back noise going on. Dave, why don't you take over?
Okay, yeah. So, gosh, we're down to the last half hour. I was really wanting to get some information from you about, you know, if you had to encapsulate your ideas about how to fix things, what would be the top ideas that you would want to express here and now?
People have to unify and ignore all this garbage that's out there for the most part. Keep an eye on it. I've been saying for years that People's Awareness Coalition has the program of building local communities. Again, that's what they've stolen from us. This whole New World Order has to do with the elite controlling all commerce. And we can see that through organizations such as Amazon. It's just going to get worse. People are just going to be slaves to the people, the elites. And that's what communism is meant to do. All this boogeyman stuff with these totalitarian units around the world, I'm almost positive that Russia and the United States are working together for this. And even during the Cold War, it was a program to create the boogeyman to, further the agenda for the New World Order. And of course, there's, you know, places like Cuba and China, for example. They're just different factions of communism, and they do different things to confuse people. But again, it's getting control of the economies of the countries and turning the people into slave labor for corporations. That's the nuts and bolts of it. So what people have to do is start taking their local economies back, and it's going to be very hard when you're supporting the people that are taking or, you know, imposing this on you. And it's a rock and a hard place. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but I think the best thing to do is expose the system. And that's what my book does and what my work does. And people tend to want to ignore it because it's such a big pill to swallow that they can't do it. I think ego has a lot to do with it because they don't want to admit they've been fooled and lied to. What's your opinion on that, Dave?
Oh, for sure. You know, part of it is just overcoming a lifetime of programming of false information and false belief systems. You know, essentially, especially now, the schools and the universities are ruled by Marxism. They're not calling it that, but that's essentially what it is. They're trying to rebrand it into, as you said earlier, progressivism, because that sounds a lot nicer. So the deprogramming people is difficult. You have a whole lifetime of this, and you see people's programming at work with this whole COVID crisis. If you challenge the official narrative, some people actually get very angry at you because you're challenging their perception of the world. And like you say, that's difficult for a lot of people, and you have to really humble yourself to realize, yeah, I've been fooled, and I need to, try to relearn my perception of reality. It's not an easy thing to do.
Yes, one of my papers is Your Marxism, and I talk about the seven deadly sins. And I know the so-called Catholics supposedly came up with those, but they're based on, things that are off before, that they even enumerated them back, it was at least 1,500 years ago or more. I think, I forget what saint put them together, but, people, Americans especially, are engaging in all of them. And, just greed is the main one I see being implemented. Americans are just greedy. And they've been trained to be. You know, Marxist materialism was put together for this program. Marx observed historical, materialism as people doing what they needed to get by to survive. And Marxist materialism is going to, Walmart and buying crap you really don't need. And that just makes money for the elite overall. And, you know, this whole system's got to be reversed. I have to say that a lot of people probably don't appreciate the Amish. I've seen a lot of people understanding them maybe more in the recent years. But really, we have to get back to that kind of community. It's where people take care of each other.
That's true. A decentralized system where things are made locally. And yeah, the Amish really had things figured out in some ways, because I think they saw what was coming. And we're going to have to know how to make things again.
You know, we have a lot of Amish up here where we live, and a few people, well, I mentioned the people I work with in Ohio, and they actually, you know, cater, or not cater, but taxi, so to speak, the Amish around, because they don't drive. And so they're really close to them, and they talk to them a lot. And they said they don't even know why they do what they do. Of course, it's part of their religion. And I don't want to get into, you know, some of the things that may be heard to be negative about them. I mean, even a woman I deal with in health here in Wisconsin, she goes, they don't have it all together when it comes to health issues. And, you know, my friend Janet does alternative health. So they even, you know, have Social Security numbers. So they don't know the law or the extent of the law as they should either. But at least their heads are in the right place, you know. As far as being apart from the system, one of my favorite Bible verses is be in the world and not of it. So if anyone fits that to the best of their ability, it's the Amish. They're in the world and not of it. They really don't care who's president. You know, they're not politically involved.
Why do the Amish have Social Security numbers? I didn't know that.
Well, some of them do. I don't think all of them do, but they've, you know, the state, this progressive state has made them get them. You know, and they don't have the proper lawyers or someone that could counsel them, such as myself, to tell them they don't need to do it and how not to do it. I've been out of the system for 25 years. I got rid of everything, which includes that slave number, which makes it very hard because, you know, the majority of the people are slaves. Of course, they want you to be a slave too.
Yeah.
So it's a spiritual battle is what we're in, and people don't see it that way because they've got everyone thinking that government's their God, which that's the way it was set up. Like I said, I think it was last hour, or I said it before, that the government is a religion. It doesn't matter what religion you're practicing. The government is the religion.
Yeah. And it's interesting how there's been no COVID outbreaks at Amazon, at the Amazon warehouses, conveniently enough. You know, I find that suspicious. And but it's very dangerous to go to church, apparently. But working at Amazon, no problem. And I guess Bezos,
not that I've heard,
shareholdings, he's made billions of dollars since this thing started.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the whole program. The rich get richer. Then you have Gates out there doing the junk that you mentioned he's doing.
Oh, yeah. Like you said, he's coming out of the closet, you know.
Well, he was involved with that Common Core math crap, too, which is totally ridiculous. It's just an effort to destroy America. And he's on these programs that you mentioned. It's ridiculous. Americans are just blind, just not that bright. It's really sad.
Well, one interesting thing, too, is that it doesn't seem like the Russians have deliberately dumbed down their society in the same way America has been. There's a couple of different, like, you know, Russian, you know, talk shows that I'll listen to, and, you know, I'll look at the translation. And if you look at the level of perception and the way that they talk, they're not operating on the childlike level that we see on American television. And, you know, China has not implemented any kind of goofy math system like Common Core. You know, they're quite the opposite. So it's a very strange situation we're in. With a, it's really, it really is an enemy from within more than anything, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. That's what Webster said back in, I think, 1850. Daniel Webster, he was one of the radical Republicans, and I don't understand why he said what he did. It was like he was warning. Well, he was warning America what was coming. And he said, you know, I could read the quote, but he said, let Americans be strong and apply the remedy. And I haven't gotten down to talking it over with Mike what he thinks the remedy is, but it has to do with, it's simple in my mind, and Mike would probably have to agree with this based on his research. The states, the several states, need their own federal government. This federal government is not of their making or doing. It's a private enterprise by the synagogue of Satan, simply put.
Yes, and any kind of centralized control always ends in disaster. And that's one nice thing about this idea of states' rights. You have 50 different states that can operate in different ways and act as sort of a laboratory to see what kind of system works best for the people and what creates a better society. And under a centralized control, you don't have those kind of
options. You don't have that. That's what I, you know, I figured out that the states have to, you know, it goes back, because this whole thing's a fraud. Everything that's been done over the past 150 years or even more has been negated. And the rightful owners of the states should, you know, take their states back. And all the people that have come in over the past 100 years really don't have a say in it, because it's been fraudulent. But until people know their true identity, which gets down to their lawful nationalities, and do that, implement that, nothing's going to happen. Bill Gates is going to control it. You know, the shadow government, the actors of the shadow government.
Well, and of course, Bill Gates, wouldn't you say he's a salesman for more powerful people that prefer to stay behind the scenes,
saying,
and
actor,
in the shadows,
actor,
and nameless.
Yep. I always thought he was a front man for Microsoft, which was basically probably a government operation.
Well, yeah, and I think there's some truth in this theory that Microsoft was sort of, you know, a phony company from the beginning, because some say that Microsoft was essentially a way that IBM was able to exploit the computer market completely without worrying about so-called antitrust laws and stuff. So the idea that Bill Gates came in and outsmarted everybody in IBM at age 20, whatever, 22, 23, I always found that to be a little suspicious, and I think it was part of a greater plan.
Yes. You know, I haven't researched those things, but again, if People's Awareness Coalition could do what it was supposed to do 20 years ago, all this stuff would be, we'd have our own investigators and people investigating certain things that are important and not distractions. And expose this, the system as it is. And it's not going to be done by a leader. We see what happens when when they try to do something. It's got to be done by the people, or not the people, because that's a terminology too. That the people means the popular representatives. So the subjects, it's got to be done by the peasants. It's got to be explored and taken care of, because the leaders aren't going to do it. So
yeah,
voting the right person in, it's not going to work. You know, the foundation's bad. That's what I was trying to explain. You know, Grant's two terms in office were graft and corruption. That just set the pace for what this government was going to operate on. since the Civil War. And it has. And they're getting away with it based on the rich that run the media. That's all controlled, too, as a lot of the listeners probably know. And there's a lot of people that are figuring it out. But unfortunately, a lot of the people out there that have a voice on YouTube, for example, they thought all this started with 9/11 or the last 10 years. You know, some people look at Obama being the problem, you know. And, of course, that was all planned. They put Obama in there to sway the citizenry or Americans to one direction, and then they come up with Trump to sway them back another direction. It's all to cause chaos and what's going on.
Well, and Obama really did kind of come out in the open with supporting, you know, essentially socialism and communism. And he appointed so many of these so-called activist judges that pretty much just sit on the bench to make law, not to interpret it.
Well, these, these other ones, the so-called conservatives, aren't much better. I understand that Brett Kavanaugh?
Kavanaugh.
Yeah, he was involved in covering up a lot of what Clinton's did back when as a D.C. judge.
Yes, he did. Absolutely. He helped cover up the Vince Foster affair, among other things. And so did Barr.
Yeah,
General Barr. He's been a cleanup man for both the Bushes and the Clintons, you know, for 30 years.
Right. So nothing's changed. Like I've been telling you, Dave, as far as I'm concerned, the Democrats and the liberal agenda is just a front to impose the so-called fascist system that's been in power since the Constitution. Of course, Washington was the first fascist with the what he did with the Whiskey Rebellion. Going after them, and then Congress imposed the Alien and Sedition Act, which was unconstitutional. So these guys have been unlawful for a long time. My point is that they really suckered the citizenry in with the 14th Amendment and then totally enslaved them. And they don't even know it. Don't realize it.
Yeah. Yeah. The Whiskey Rebellion was actually a pretty significant event, but it's not many people know much about it. It's kind of been written out of history unless you really look into it.
Yeah. It's another thing, anything on the internet, like Wikipedia, that's all been, you know, it's regulated. It's not a whole truth. We had one of our things taken down, People's Awareness Coalition. Put an article up on, basically the lawful status of Americans, and they took it down within 3 days.
Okay, so earlier you were saying that it's essential that people unify. What else would you say needs to be done? What's on your top five list of things that need to be done immediately to remedy the situation a little bit?
Well, people have to stop being hurt by being lied to. It's the number one thing. And people have to unify. There's too many chiefs and not enough Indians out there. I know you and I are on that one group on Skype, and you get a kick out of some of the things I say, but you can't have defective people trying to, you know, run things. And that's been a big problem. And that's what the PAC Unification Project was supposed to cure, you know, get together and go over certain issues that might be considered not valid, you know, because a lot of these so-called patriots buy into things that aren't right, you know, not lawfully correct. So they're not going to get anywhere with it.
Well, give me an example of that, would you?
Oh, for example, you know, they come up with these fancy terms, and I'm positive they're disinformation. operatives that put these things out there, man on the land, or on the land of some state, is that one guy likes to use. I'm not going to mention his name.
Yeah.
But
the Freeman movement.
Yeah, the Freeman movement. Freemen are, the Roman version or definition of a freeman is someone to define that someone that wasn't a slave. So, if you go back to the foundational law of the United States or the states, the several states, they had a foundation of common law. So calling yourself a freeman is bowing into their system, pre or post 14th Amendment. So that's just a mistake in using that terminology. And this man on the land stuff, I have no idea. Well, I have an idea where it came from. It's just information. But, when these people in the movement start listening to people they don't know who they're listening to, they're going to, start repeating it like parrots. That's what's happened. That gets back to me getting into this movement. There was a lot of disinformation in the 90s that I had to cure by writing my book. And that's what the purpose of my book was, to cure the problems in the movement. Right. And of course it got buried with the internet by 2010, 2008. It was already the powers that be had already started to bury things with disinformation and to pull things political, away from people understanding how the Constitution works. That's the biggest thing. People need to understand that there's basically two constitutions in place. The overlay system that was put in with the 14th Amendment is what rules, and people don't have access to the original Constitution is what it boils down to. It's all fraudulent. It's all fraudulent. It's an overlay system.
Right. That's interesting. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's all done with agencies. Every agency, state and federal, is part and parcel of the communist or Marxist system. Because those didn't exist prior to the 14th Amendment or Reconstruction.
Right.
And it basically destroyed Reconstruction. Destroyed the common law and overlaid it with equity law, which is the judge, like you kind of mentioned, writing the law. The judges write the law instead of, interpreting the true law, which would be the Constitution and the common law maxims and things that had existed prior to the 14th Amendment.
Well, we're coming down just to the last couple of minutes, and I want to make sure everybody stays tuned for the Trump assassination files coming up next on Studio A with Mitchell. That ought to be a good one. So everyone stay tuned for that. LB, what would be your final thoughts on our discussion tonight?
Yeah, people have to unify and get listening to real, like this guy in our chat room. He has a factor theory, that's a good way to put it. People need to stop buying into theories and listening to the wrong people and start working together. The three things I said the PAC's doing is, building local economies, and people have to learn how to do that themselves. I want to come up with a broadcast team to do that if I can get the funding together, but it's really hard these days to even get people to listen, let alone get funding to do things. And two, people need to correct their nationalities or their status so they're not of this slave status. And three, watch what these SOBs are doing, like Gates, for example. And, if we had our act together and we were working together, there'd be investigators out investigating everything that's happened. For example, these pallets of bricks that were set in these zones for looting and whatever. How'd that happen? Everyone should be centered on that. who did this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And, you know, really, Bill Gates should be deported to India to face trial for crimes right. against humanity.
Right.
You know?
That should, you know, that's watching what they're doing. And I say that this isn't my government because I can't participate in it, you know, lawfully. But we still have to watch what they're doing. And, you know, people are generally just distracted with nonsense. And it's all due to these people being able to do what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, wow, that went by fast, man. And thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
it was a good conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And give your website out once more.
Yeah, packandlaw.us is the document one, and packalliance.us is the main site. That's packalliance.us. See you next week, folks.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
Revolution, Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com